Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Subex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. G.V. Krishnakant. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone who have joined the earnings call for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Now, I'd like to introduce the members of the management who are present for the call. Along with me, I have Ms. Nisha Dutt, CEO, and Mr. Sumit Kumar, CFO of the company. I would like to start the conference call by going through the safe harbor clause. Certain statements in this call concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements, which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements include, but not related to, fluctuations in earnings, our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions, competition in an area of businesses, client concentration, liability for damages in our contracts, withdrawal of tax incentives, political instability, unauthorized use of our intellectual property, and general economic conditions affecting our industry. So with this, I now hand out this call to Ms. Nisha Dutt to take it forward.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Subex's investor call. It's a pleasure to have all of you here today. But before I delve into the financials and strategic outlook, I'd like to actually take a moment to introduce myself. As this is the first time I'm speaking to all of you, I think after I took charge, I must have met quite a few of you in AGMs before. But just to reintroduce myself, my name is Nisha, and I'm your new CEO. It gives me great honor to be given this responsibility of leading one of India's earliest product companies towards its new next chapter of growth. My prior experience on the board of Subex has provided me with insights into company's operations, strategic vision, and governance. So I believe that this knowledge equips me to step into this role with comprehensive understanding of Subex's business model and industry landscape, and of course, our stakeholder relationships that are very vital to our growth. I bring a strategic and growth mindset, and I'm confident in my ability to deliver to shareholder expectations. And what I've done since I've taken over the past 3 months, I've had the privilege of spending time with many of our customers. And this hands-on experience has given me insights into their needs, aspirations, and challenges. And I've witnessed the potential of technologies firsthand, actually. And I've personally also conducted workshops on AI. And it's been a journey of learning and growth for me. So combining all these learnings and, you know, assessments, because one of the key focus areas for me has to assess, you know, what are the new growth opportunities for Subex. And I've come to a, you know, conclusion that Subex's capabilities can expand, and I'm able to see a clear strategic intersection. And I'll call this the next pivot, actually, that we'll make in Subex. And, you know, I call this as creating connected experiences for our telco clients. So let me expand on this this idea of connected experiences a little bit and paint a picture for you. So I'd like you to imagine that we are on the brink of a massive digital revolution that's about to reshape the world of telcos forever. With data is spreading everywhere, digital and real worlds are really converging right now. We are foreseeing a future that could be here as soon as 2025. In this future that we foresee, more than 30% of messages that we will send out will be synthetically actually generated by AI. Around 10% of data will come from generative AI, Gen AI, also, you know, in local parlance known as ChatGPT, and 65% of global population will have digital wallets. So what this will do is that we'll be spending a lot of time in digital realm, and the whole world is almost converging on our smartphones. So while all this happens, one of the great things is that the shift, you know, the whole shift is underpinned by connectivity. And that's what our telco customers provide to their customers, correct? So this forms the bedrock of massive transformation. And we believe that telcos now have a very different and golden opportunity to create amazing value for their customers. And we want to be on this journey with them. So we foresee a future where end users like you and me, like all of us, will be augmented by AI agents, and we will be self-generating content in virtual world. For example, your phones will literally become like robotic agents. Communications will shift from personalization to self-generation. So content will be self-generated. will move from graphical to conversational user interfaces, just like, you know, we have been using ChatGPT. And this will transform the interaction that we have with our applications as well. In this, we will live in almost an AR-VR world where AI agents will call each other and perform tasks autonomously. So this is the world that we foresee, which is so different from, you know, the one we are actually seeing a lot of this transformation unfolding in front of us. We also believe that large language models, LLMs, will have the intelligence to orchestrate better software stacks and actually replace them. Call centers, you know, will become co-pilots. So this will fundamentally shift the way telco data, you know, the way we understand telco data and software infrastructure. But like I said earlier, connectivity will be the bedrock of these diverse experiences. And we at Subex are now committed to providing seamless solutions for this landscape. So I'm really excited about the changes that we are seeing in landscape. And we have been serving telcos for many decades, as most of you know. And we recognize that navigating this transformative landscape is not without its challenges for them, right? So the telco industry, if I were to talk about it, is really being disrupted right now. And it's across four key areas that we see. Customer experience, delivery, the ecosystem in which they are having to operate now, and technology stacks changing. So this is quite a bit of disruption for telcos. But the good news here is that each area presents a unique set of questions and challenges. And a plethora of new AI use cases is opening up, actually, to deliver this, you know, the idea that I call connected experiences. So towards this, what we have done at Subex is we have curated a comprehensive array of offerings to pave way for this. Our mission is to empower telcos with personalized, seamless, secure, and intelligent solutions. And we want to co-author this future together with them. So what we are doing is we are focusing on unlocking new use cases and building on the foundation of the digital trust that, you know, you are all very aware of, that we have already been delivering on. So how will, you know, our portfolio deliver to this? So our offerings will range from enabling personalized experiences through AI Customer Experience Studio and digital onboarding solutions. We'll guarantee cost optimization through our network analytics portfolio. We'll deliver intelligence with our business assurance portfolio and AI use case studio, and secure connectivity through fraud and security solutions. And of course, you know, telco fintech is a big area that's emerging. So we will actually enable cashless commerce through AI fintech solutions. So we have net, I think, aligned our portfolio to deliver unmatched value to our clients, I believe. These are demands of the future, and we are actually at Subex pivoting to next-gen stack. I call it the next-gen stack because we are now ready with 5G, AI, and cloud. Right, so the convergence of these three technologies, I think we are very well primed to make use of this opportunity. And this whole stack will be powered by our HyperSense line of offerings that combine cloud readiness, AI ML, and generative AI capabilities to deliver superior customer experience. So what this will do, you know, to make it really easy to understand is that this stack, the stack that we are moving towards, will provide us with expanded addressable market, TAM, to cater to and position us actually in midst of these tailwinds. We have over 200 global customers. We have 300 installations and in 100 countries. And all the customers that I have met and personally spent time with, they are actually really excited about the new, you know, new stack that we are talking about and its transformative potential. So, and we have been getting really good feedback and direct feedback on this new opportunity. So if I were to really conclude, I would say that in Subex, we see this as a of experiences driven by AI and shaped by collaboration. We are super excited about this, and we really want to, you know, take the lead on this journey with telcos. Like I said, we want to empower our customers and partner with best of technology, you know, partners. I assure you that we are committed as ever to delivering exceptional value and look forward to your continued support. And so this is what I wanted to sort of, you know, cover connected experiences bit to explain it a little bit. But going forward, when we talk in investor calls, I will be providing updates in investor calls around three strategic pillars in addition to the earnings that we will talk about. So the three pillars that I will cover in every investor call would be, you know, around growth, efficiency, and talent. Because I think these are the three pivotal areas that really demand a lot of our attention. And I want to make sure that we are monitoring and disclosing this. Because, you know, these are the three things that will put us on an upward trajectory. So On the growth front, to come to these, you know, three aspects. On the growth front, the first quarter has delivered promising outcomes. We have secured addition of three new logos in our core business domain, despite, you know, we had a lot of competition. These accomplishments, I would say, are significant because the contracts that we have won are with the, you know, really good and renowned CSPs. So these wins underscore our, you know, capabilities in our core solutions. And our strategic focus has also pivoted towards expanding our footprint within the strategic accounts. So I call it almost a farming strategy, right? When you have a strategic account, we want to go deeper and make sure that we are able to do more for our current clients. So we will augment our adoption of our products across the key clients. And as I spoke earlier, we are very focused on AI right now. So we will make sure that we will pick select geographical regions with pronounced AI for our AI offerings and delve deeper into these accounts. The second one that I spoke about was efficiency. And efficiency, as you will understand, is a very important pillar of our strategic roadmap. So what we are doing is we have embarked on a journey of hyper-focusing on our portfolio optimization. We are trying to streamline our operations to extract maximum value out of every aspect of our business. And this approach is underpinned by a firm belief in contemporary technology as a cornerstone to our advancement. We cannot offer contemporary technology stack to our clients without being on the journey ourselves. So we will embrace a very tech-first mindset that should really help us drive efficiency and productivity in this organization. Also, most of you have heard, but we are actually on the path to collaborating with one of the world's leading strategic players. We are forging alliances, and I believe that what this will do is eventually help us reduce our cost footprint and also, you know, open up a new market which we haven't been able to tap into before this. So I'm confident that efficiency focus will really help us, you know, deliver the operational excellence. And the third focus area that I wanted to talk about was talent. This goes without saying that this is going to be critical to our success. In the tech-driven area where the technology stacks are changing very quickly, we completely understand the game-changing influence of, you know, talent. And I want to make sure that we make most of their potential, the talent that we have, and we are actively investing in programs to enhance and reshape their skills. So we are making sure that our workforce is equipped with latest know-how to equip, you know, to navigate this new landscape. And more importantly, I want, you know, the best talent to create almost like an innovation engine for the company, that position that keeps experimenting internally so that we have newer and newer offerings to take to our clients. So this is going to be very critical for us. Those were most of the business updates for the quarter, and now I'd like to take an opportunity to present the financial highlights from Q1. So performance highlights for the quarter that ended on June 30th, 2023, compared to previous quarter, March 31st, 2023. Revenue for the quarter stood at INR 673 million, as against INR 473 million for the quarter that ended on March 31st, 2023. EBITDA for the quarter was at INR 147 million as against INR 368 million for the quarter, and profit after tax was at INR 193 million as against INR 472 million for the quarter that ended on March 31st, 2023. And if we do the comparison with the corresponding quarter, the performance highlights for the June 30th, 2023 compared to quarter that ended on June 30th, 2022, was revenue for the quarter, we ended at 673 million as against 833 million for the quarter that ended previous year. EBITDA for the quarter ended at 147 million this quarter against 7 million for the quarter that ended on June 30, 2022. And PAT for the quarter ended at INR 133 million as against 55 million for the quarter that ended in June 30, 2022. In summary, if I were to summarize this, we saw 42% increase in our revenues compared to the previous quarter. And I believe this movement has been a result of collective efforts of our team. Our order booking performance, OI, looks good for quarter one, and it has exhibited robust strength, surpassing the levels in preceding quarters. So this demonstrates to me that there is continuous demand for our products. We just need to make sure that we are making good on this. Equally noteworthy, I would say, is positive trajectory of our EBITDA. I feel that we are on the recovery path right now. and we'll take measures to enhance operational efficiency, optimize costs, and definitely maximize shareholders for our maximize value for our shareholders. And as we navigate this business landscape, we remain committed to driving sustainable growth and enhancing shareholder value. So really, your support and trust mean a lot to us, and we are committed on delivering value to you. Finally, I would really like to, you know, a big thanks for your confidence in us. We would welcome your feedback on the strategic roadmap that we have set for ourselves, and I would love for these calls to be a two-way communication platform where, you know, we just not just talk to you, but also hear from you. Thank you once again, and we will open up for questions now, and I'll give it back to the moderator at this point.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, ma'am. This is Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Thanks for highlighting and welcome you on the board as a CEO. And good to you, ma'am. Ma'am, whenever we listen to the prospects of our company and understand the business, we get very excited. But you will appreciate that since last many years, we could not deliver on the growth trajectory, what we envisaged 2-3 years back, even when we migrated to HyperSense and which we found that after 2 years that will also get into growth trajectory. But we don't see anything on the top line side. So can you highlight what has gone wrong and what you envisage for next 2 years you see that coming as an opportunity to us?
So thank you for your question, Sanjay, and thank you for welcoming me. I understand, you know, I completely understand your frustration, and, you know, I acknowledge that. But what I can say is that I actually do see massive opportunity for us. And I've spent a lot of time with the clients, and I think we are actually, you know, we have the tailwinds of AI, cloud, and 5G. And, you know, at this point of time, management is very committed to making good on this. I understand that in past we may not have, you know, fulfilled expectations, but I am very committed to making sure that we make good on in front of us. So please give us some time and you will see some changes coming through. That's, you know, my only request to you right now is not to kind of lose hope in us now. Please stay with us because I think, you know, we are trying our best. And we are trying to turn this around right now.
Fine. Thank you. And my next question was regarding our partnership in... we added some portfolio, that is partner ecosystem management. Can you highlight what's going on that side and what's the progress on that side? And the other one was our partnership with Tech Mahindra on blockchain technology. Is there anything happening over there?
So partner ecosystem management, or we call it PEM, actually has been a part of our portfolio for a while now. It's not a new addition. While maybe, you know, we have gained quite a lot of traction in it recently. So maybe you have heard about it more in recent past, but it has been a part of our portfolio. Actually, we get quite a few, you know, I would say a significant part of our, not a significant, but a good part of our revenue actually comes from partner ecosystem management. And this is only going to be more critical for us as we go into this whole 5G era, right? In 5G, what will happen is that wholesale billing settlement will become very important, actually, for telco clients. And what we are also trying to do is invest in this newer areas in this product itself, you know, partner ecosystem management. So we are preparing ourselves to strengthen this product even more. Actually, I'm really excited about the potential of this product. But just to answer your question, it has been around for a while, and we are getting very good traction, actually, on it. As you know, more and more partners are onboarded in telco ecosystem, and partner settlement and, you know, real-time settlement becomes critical, and we have just the product for it, actually. In terms of our blockchain and tech-in, this is one of the projects that we have been pursuing, and we are trying to see, you know, what where it can take us. It's too early for me to comment on, you know, how it's evolving, but I would say that the first signs are very promising, actually. So we have partnered with them on one of the projects that we are delivering for the client, and we are monitoring the results very closely to see if this could be a good area of opportunity for us.
What about IoT security with Telefonica?
IoT security has been with us for, again, you know, it's an older part of our portfolio. So we have been at working, and we continue to sort of strengthen that offering. In fact, in IoT security, we are looking at, you know, taking newer offerings to our telco clients just beyond Telefonica as well. So, yes, I mean, this has been a part of our portfolio again. Like I said, right, we do have some pillars that are working well for us. There is IoT, there is 5G, there is AI, and we are trying to see if we can bring, like, you know, a more converged and a more synthesized solution to our telco client. So that continues to be an area of opportunity, Sanjay.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
Thank you, ma'am. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. The next question comes from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. And my question is regarding manpower costs. Every quarter, manpower cost is going up, whereas sales is not going up. Hello, are you able to hear?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Yeah. See, what I'm saying, every quarter, manpower cost is going up, but sales is not going up. How you are going to control manpower cost? Are you going to use AI and robotics to reduce cost of your development and testing? And second question is, what is the investment required in your new strategic program?
Okay. So thank you, Mahesh, for these questions. So manpower cost going up, I will ask the CFO, Sumit, to comment on that. But my brief comment on that, you know, this aspect would be that, like I said, right, we can't bring efficiencies to our clients, and, you know, unless we bring efficiencies internally in-house ourselves. So definitely, you know, these are initiatives that I'm very focused on, and that's why I also mentioned that we'll be reporting against, you know, growth, efficiency, and talent, because efficiency is a very critical metric, and manpower cost is a part of that. So we are focused on that. I have made a note of it, and we will see what we can do there. In terms of new initiatives, I actually don't think it will require a lot of investment. Definitely, it requires some investment, but I don't foresee a huge investment because Subex is actually already on the path to some of these. As you know, we already have a robust AI portfolio, and 5G, you know, we were already preparing ourselves for 5G growth. I think what probably needs a little bit more of our focus is cloud and 5G. So we are going to do that with the current resources that we have, maintaining, you know, because I am also aware that we need to deliver to shareholder expectations. So we are focused on numbers as well. So hopefully we'll do this, you know, without too much of burn. But Sumit, can you answer on the manpower cost, please?
Sure. So just to add on what Nisha just mentioned is the whole objective what we are right now working is how to improve the productivity, because typically the manpower cost is more or less fixed and is all long driven projects, and the only way to control is to just improve the productivity. So as and when we will start seeing the top line growth, our manpower cost will not increase to the tune of that. So it is more about, I can just say, it's a semi-fix, and once the businesses start coming and it's growing, it will eventually, as a percentage to revenue, it will start dropping.
Yeah.
So that is what largely around. If you see the year-on-year side, there is a close to a 3 crores of an increase has happened, which is again, you know, that the cost inflation is there, though we are working in the productivity side. So eventually, you will start seeing the cost optimization as a percentage to revenue, and the things will start under control. So that's what, as a management team, and which I'm just adding what Nisha just mentioned, we are just working towards to optimize this. Yeah,
we are also partnering with hyperscalers, as you know. So that should, you know, help us open up new doors without significant burn at our end. But yeah, I mean, points well taken, and that is something that's high priority for us.
So you have to use AI internally to showcase to your customer that we can reduce cost by using AI.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree more, Mahesh. And this is something that we are actually doing, you know. So I couldn't agree more. Completely agree.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Abhishek, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nisha. This is Abhishek. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Hi, Abhishek.
Yeah. Nisha, first question. Q3 2022-23, the former CEO said, give us 2 quarters and then things will start to stabilize. Vinod is gone now. I mean, he's now into the board of directors and all that stuff. And you have taken over. Give me a realistic number in terms of the time you think that we will see a positive bottom line, period. I mean, I don't care about the initiatives, how they are shaping up. Just give me a time frame. Sorry for being so blunt, but you have seen the numbers, our performance in the past. And so it has come down to asking this question and probably in this verbatorium. And I apologize if it is sounding too harsh.
No. Appreciate the question, Abhishek. You are, you know, you are our shareholders. You are entitled to ask anything. And we must answer to you. So I cannot, Abhishek, I would not like to really comment on what was, said before I took over. Please pardon me. I would not like to comment on that. But I can tell you sitting where I am today, given that you have, I mean, all of you know that there has been some contraction in business last year. And, you know, this is like, I think of Subex as, we are in some choppy waters, but Subex is not a small boat, right? I cannot turn it around immediately. It's like a ship. It will take some time for us to turn around. So I would request that, you know, be patient and give us few more quarters, please, before, you know, you start seeing the real impact of all the changes that we are trying to make. I will not promise overnight results, but results will come. That's all my request to you is, really.
If I may follow up on the same question, may I please? If you can quantify, I mean, tell me, say it will take you 1 year or another 2 years before we turn the ship around. I understand that it is not, you have inherited the captaincy of the ship. You have to now start steering it around, make the necessary adjustments. What is the realistic time frame that you think from where you are sitting right now as to where we will see a positive bottom line?
I would, it's a tough one, honestly, but if I were to say sitting where I am from my vantage point, and you have to remember I have been at the helm for all of 3 months, I agree, but I think that this would take us a year before we actually really turn it around. This will, you know, that is my realistic outlook right now.
Okay. And following upon probably Mahesh and Sanjay's question, we are not seeing the top line increasing because it's been a perennial problem for us since the time I've been a shareholder, that our sales team are very poor at delivery. Somehow, we have got the product portfolio, everything that we look at from the advantage point looks very hunky-dory. But then when it comes to our sales team getting the sale through and that contributing to our top line, that is something that is not happening. I don't know. I mean, what are we doing to change it? Again, I'm not expecting you to do anything overnight. You have inherited the company in whatever shape form it is right now. But from where you sit, our sales is where I see the problem is. Our products may be fantastic, but it is our sales which are the root cause of this entire show that is not going as per what we see. It is my 10,000 feet view of the company. I'm not privy to what the sales team does. So please take it with a pinch of salt.
The truth is, Abhishek, that there are, I have noticed that, obviously there are areas of improvement, I think, in sales and in other areas as well, in products themselves also. We have identified multiple areas of improvement, and my focus is definitely, at the end of the day, if I have to deliver results to you, top line has to grow, and everything that needs to get fixed, to grow that top line, be it sales, be it product, be it our delivery, every aspect has my full attention, and I'm personally making sure that this will change. If it means that we need to do more sales enablement, we need to hire better talent, we are making, I'm almost like in a stock-taking situation right now to see what changes need to be made so that, we are better prepared. But again, I would really ask you to be a little patient. We are making changes.
Sure. And one positive comment, sorry for all the negatives that I talked about. I really like the concise version of the presentation without far too many accolades and what we have done in the past, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. It's a very concise desk that I'm seeing for the first time, and I really appreciate that's the change for me that I am seeing. And
no,
that's very
so
positive.
Much. No, thank you so much. Really good to hear that, because I think that we want to be direct. We want to be, at least I want to be very pointed in my communication to make sure
but
that
probably,
we only communicate what you need to know. So.
Exactly. And the deck actually reflects that. So I wanted you to get the accolades for it. Probably that's the first change that we as an investor are seeing. So, and good luck. And I'll keep tracking the progress of the organization. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to ask my question.
Appreciate
Thank you it. So much. I really look forward to staying engaged. Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Ashish Bhuvana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, madam, for giving me this opportunity. Well, most of the questions have been asked by previous investors of the company. But, I like to know, definitely you as a listed company prepare a budget, which gets approved at your board meeting as regards what is the outlook for sales and expenses in the next year or next quarter. So can this particular statement be shared by us, with us?
No. First of all, hello and thanks for coming on the call. What you have asked is literally a forward-looking statement. So I'm my apologies, but I won't be able to comment on that specific aspect. Ashish, if you understand. So.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Apologies.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Sanjay K., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, Sanjay.
Hi, Nisha. Welcome to the company, and thank you for hosting the call, because last two quarters there was no call, so we couldn't in fact and get more information about the company. So my question is about Q4. The Q4, the revenue has gone down almost 30%, and there was some information was given that some milestones were not met, and that's why there was no payment done probably. So how, what is the situation now? I mean, whatever the 30, about 30 crores or 27 crore of revenue probably or might have not recognized. So how is the situation now? Have we recognized in this quarter, and are we seeing such challenges going forward as well, that losing revenue because of milestones, not meeting?
First of all, since this is Q4, I'll also ask the CFO Sumit to come in. But the short answer to your question is that whatever, revenue was reversed, we are looking to recognize it through the course of the year. So I believe that we are on track to recognize it through the course. Right now, we haven't in this quarter. Sumit, would you like to add something here?
Yeah, same thing. Last quarter four, we have, so the revenue has been built based on certain milestones. And when we are, when we are just trying to work on the things, and getting the customer sign-offs, there are still needs to be rework and all that. So that's how the revenue got reversed. And there's a work is going on this year. So eventually this number will come back to us. As Nisha has mentioned, this year we are looking for getting this number back. And it will take some time to recognize it.
Sure, thank you. And one more question about about a year back, or maybe more than a year back, the company has formed alliance or some partnership with Jio. And so is there any now progress happening, like Jio licensing, like HyperSense or any of the services, or it is just a partnership which will get eventually benefited only whenever in future, but it is not so far any revenue coming from Jio?
Jio is a partnership that we are closely nurturing, and I believe that, you know, there are benefits that will come to us in future, but right now actually it's still a partnership where we are seeing, you know, what would be the best way to partner, what would be the best mechanism, you know, with which both of us can work on all the, you know, because Jio is also very, you know, tech forward company now. So we are, and we are also very tech forward. So we are trying to figure out, you know, what could be the exact synergies. But beyond that, my apologies, I'm not able to comment more on that, this relationship right now.
No problem. I just wanted to get some idea. The next question is about HyperSense. I mean, definitely it's one of the advanced products. And if you can throw some light on how the market is looking now. Are we really seeing the convergence are happening, or how many companies are showing interest, and how the outlook looks like for the HyperSense?
Actually, HyperSense, I would say I'm quite excited about, because like I mentioned in my previous, you know, when I was speaking, I did spend a lot of time with key clients, and all of them, you know, because HyperSense is inherently an AI-enabled platform, and that's the capability that telcos are really looking for right now. We just have to, you know, make sure that they understand what the inherent capabilities are and deliver to it. Telcos are also looking at this whole, you know, cloud and 5G. And I think we are now really positioned well. So HyperSense has good reception in the market. In fact, I would say that everywhere I went, the reception has been really good. And that's the portfolio on which, that's the base, right, on which we want to build a lot more products. So it gives us a great base platform. I'm feeling good about it. I've heard great feedback as well.
Oh, that's great. And the last question is about, there is a good improvement from Q4 to Q1, at least the improvement into top end and bottom. I mean, at least the loss is less on that. So how you see, I mean, it may take more time to get a really positive bottom line, but at least quarter-wise, are you seeing now from Q2 and Q3 is going to be better than Q1 at least? At least you are seeing that things are improving compared to what you have seen last 3 months?
We are going to try our absolute best, but I won't be able to specifically comment on, you know, forward-looking quarters. But rest assured, you know, we are doing our best, really, to make sure that, you know, we continue to deliver results and build on the momentum we have on Cuba.
Sure, just want to hear that's how you see a market looking at, and are you seeing now more convergence into the orders? It's going to happen or happening comparatively. So how the outlook looks like? I know it is not like saying whether it will be a positive, the profitability of a positive outcome by this quarter, but at least are you seeing positive or improvement into what outlook, improvement business on that?
I think so, Sanjay, because like I mentioned, right, we have added 3 new logos just this quarter, actually.
Sure.
So we are seeing quite a bit of, you know, momentum at our end. Like I said, right, we have to make sure that we continue it, actually, and continue having those conversations. So hopefully we'll continue to deliver, you know, good results. We have 3 new logos. We are seeing a lot of uptake of 5%. We are seeing AI use cases coming to fore. So hopefully this will continue, actually.
Are you seeing any interest from the U.S. geography? U.S.
And if you have more questions,
U.S. is an important market for us. In fact, I would say good percentage of our revenues come from developed markets. So U.S. remains a key market.
All right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Thank you, ma'am. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. The next question comes from Rajesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nisha. This is Rajesh.
Hi, Rajesh.
Yeah. So I have been attending all the conferences call of Subex for last many years. So what I understand is one of the major reasons for poor performance of Subex is we are shifting from to subscription model, from outright sale to subscription model. So I would like to understand what is the status as of now of this shifting. What percentage of business approximately has been shifted, and when do we expect to complete this process?
So thank you for that question, Rajesh. So first of all, I think industry-wide, if you look at the practice, you know, industry-wide, all software companies, all product companies, the trend is that, you know, it's moving away from license and more into subscription. So that's like, you know, we are following something that's industry trend, and also our telco customers expect it now. So I wouldn't say that we are, you know, doing something which is drastically different from the industry trend. So I think on as far as our pricing model goes, we are on track. I think this is, you know, it's a sound principle, you know, model. So model is not wrong. But I don't think the revenues have dipped necessarily because of subscription. It's just, you know, it's a different billing model. That's what it is, I think. We just need to, you know, get more clients, and, you know, we need to do better on many aspects. I wouldn't necessarily put it to this. Again, I think there is no cutoff time in which we would have moved completely to subscription to license. We continue to do both, actually. We continue to sell licenses. We continue to do subscription. In fact, our hypersense is primarily subscription and license. It's a combination. We continue to do both. But more and more telco customers definitely accept, you know, expect a lot more subscription models.
So what would be our current monthly recurring revenue? Current, I'm not asking for future revenues. What is our current monthly recurring revenues? And what is the position, what is the outstanding contracts in hand as of now?
I would request Sumit to explain.
So our current monthly revenue is, we have actually reported in the investor deck, it is $2.4 million, $2.3 million, sorry. And that's the monthly recurring number. And the outstanding contracts which we are in the process of, that's kind of a one-time revenue, you can pin it to the license and implementation, that is to the tune of around 20 million or something. So again, it is this backlog keep growing it, as Nisha just mentioned, this quarter itself we have added three new logos, and so they keep coming, and then you start finishing, and then so the whole idea of transitioning completely to subscription, but again, we are slightly flexible based on the client budget thing, because some customers just want, let's say, the license-based kind of a CapEx kind of a model. So there, there it is more about the commercial arrangement. But the, but as the industry is moving towards, we are also eventually moving towards the subscription-based thing. Yeah.
And these outstanding contracts, what is the duration in which we can we expect to complete these projects?
The duration is, so typically it's like a long implementation contract. It goes between, let's say, 15 months to 24 months kind of a thing. That's how it's typically range.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Oh, no, thank you so much, Rajesh.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Nisha, last quarter we have reported 100 crore trade receivable. What is the amount recovered as on 31st July 2023? And what is trade receivable as on today? That is first question. Second question is regarding sales thing, what problem I have seen, I have been interacting with the investor call since 2016. The sales team is lacking the ability to sell the HyperSense and IoT security products. This is my impression. I may be wrong, but it is not reflecting in the numbers. The numbers are telling there is a lacuna in the sales team.
Okay.
So how you are going to address this issue?
So Mahesh, I will have Sumit come in with the trade receivable comment, to answer your question on trade receivables. But on sales enablement, like I said earlier as well, we are going to do a lot of sales enablement across sales organization to make sure. In fact, I would say that a lot of our recent sales have been in hypersense. So that's not entirely true that our sales team don't know how to sell hypersense. I would say that we have added 3 new logos. We are seeing a lot of momentum. All the new logos are on hypersense. So I would say that the sales team now have their act together. If I'm seeing it as an area of concern that's getting flagged again and again, so I will definitely look into this and make sure that, we become sharper, actually. But your point is well taken. I've taken your comment on board, and we will definitely look into this aspect a lot more. But okay. I'll request Sumit to comment on the trade receivable aspect.
Thanks, Isha. So just to add on, so from a collection side, last quarter ending on June, we have collected 67.76 crores of a collection. As against the 67.29 crores of revenue, just to give on a collection. Our trade receivable balances are basically on a DSO side is actually, it is on a annualized basis on a DSO, it is, we have reported it is 109 days. And our closing trade receivable is to the tune of around 80.
Okay, so you have required only 20 crore out of last quarter's 100 crore.
Yeah, because it keeps piling, no? Because it's a running business, not like you stop and then collect entirely. Because this year revenue will even, or this quarter revenue will come to the trade receivables and then you keep collecting. So the funnel is working. If the collection is more than the billing, that collection is more than the revenue, that means our trade receivable balances eventually will reduce. That is what the...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Manish.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Samir Mansuri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Samir. Thank you for the opportunity and welcome, Nisha, on board. And
thank you.
We, as investors, really appreciate you again resuming the investors calls after a couple of quarters. So thank you for that. Now, my question, my two questions. One is, what are the low hanging fruits that you see and implement in the short term to address investor concerns? I mean, I'm sure you are very much aware about the kind of concerns that all the investors are raising in past so many quarters. And the second is, what are the top two challenges in expansion in the sense of expanding your horizon and the top line, basically.
Interesting question, Samir. So what I've been doing in the first 3 months, like I said, I've been doing two things. One is spending a lot of time with, individual teams internally to understand, what are the areas that can, what are the quick wins for us, right? What is it that we can quickly fix and move forward with? So that's one thing that I've been doing. But at the same time, I've also been spending time with customers to understand because I think that if you want to be on the journey with them, you have to understand where your customers are going, right, on their journey. So we need to make sure that we are prepared for that. And one of the areas that's come out very strongly, like I said earlier also, is definitely cloud, 5G and AI. These are the tailwinds, actually, for all telcos right now. So I think in Subex, we are primed to make use of this opportunity because, we have been AI first. Our hypersense platform itself is AI first. We have a plethora of use cases. So in AI, what we are doing is we are going after a use case approach now. We are trying to unlock, a customer experience use case, a churn, a fraud management, different kinds of use cases. In fact, Subex is known as an RAFM company, and fraud is rated as one of the top AI use cases for telcos. So that, positions us very well. So I see a lot of opportunity for us to work with them on this. So I would say that we have identified some quick wins. It's not without challenges. We are trying to, you know, make sure that portfolio is really optimized. So a lot of optimization work is going on internally. But externally, I think we have identified what the opportunity is, and I think that's where we have pivoted to this stack, you know, of connected experiences, because I think that is really what telcos are looking for. They want to make sure that they give seamless and connected experience to their customers. And we think that we have exactly the offerings, actually, you know, that fit into that portfolio. And we'll keep adding to those offerings. So I think I see the opportunity. Again, as always, I think the challenges will be in making sure that we implement and make good on this, right? I mean, understanding an opportunity and delivering to it is a different thing. So I'm very focused on making sure that we not just understand, but we also deliver. So we have been doing workshops. We have been, you know, co-creating these things with the telco clients. I feel extremely positive right now, sitting where I am. I think we'll be able to do this, actually. I think Subex is primed. We are a product company. We know how to build products and take them to market. So I feel confident that we'll do this.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the green confidence. But just on the delivery part, I mean, are we still facing any, I mean, challenges in terms of the, because I think 1.5 years back, the reason that was given was, you know, because of COVID, a lot of travel restrictions are there, and you know, people are not able to get to the sites and, you know, give their services. So, do you see any other challenges or current challenges in terms of delivery, or we are on track to give our commitments?
I think we are back on track. I don't see any delivery challenges per se. I think our, on the contrary, I would say the only challenge I would see is that our clients are expecting more from us now. You know, they're expecting us to deliver higher value. They're expecting us to deliver, you know, stacks to them. So the challenge is, and it's a good problem to have in my opinion, because, you know, it allows us to also challenge ourselves internally and make sure that we can, you know, deliver to their expectation. But in per se, in terms of, you know, the challenges that we had in COVID times, I don't foresee it anymore. Teams are traveling freely. You know, all the client sites are active and we are delivering projects. So nothing. In fact, you know, we should be recognizing the revenue also, you know, the reversal that was taken in Q4, we should be recognizing it through the year. So all that is back on track.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Usha.
Thank you, Samir.
Thank you, ma'am. We have a follow-up question from Abhishek, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Nisha. Abhishek again. One question. The 2.3 million MRR that we have put on the deck, what is going to be the contribution of the three new logos that we have added in this past quarter? What would be their contribution to this MRR going forward?
I'm just taking the question. So MRR number is actually, Abhishek, MRR number is, we compute, our definition of MRR is in the year kind of thing. So the new logo which is added, action will even trigger once the implementation happens. So all the new logos which we take it, there is some component of an implementation of one-time revenue and then subscription. So then this MRR eventually doesn't count that number.
Okay. Okay. One more request, if I may make. The three new logos, I mean, we did not receive any kind of a communication during the quarter, the past quarter, that we have had some win. See, I mean, as an investor, it builds more confidence to keep holding on to the company's stock if you know that the company is adding new clients, or we are at least bringing in new logos or expanding our horizon. So if a communication of that sort is made to the exchanges for us to consume, that could be highly appreciated. I mean, I don't want which company that you signed up because of if there are any security related reasons. But if I would, yeah,
I would appreciate if that is something that is communicated to the exchanges, and so we are privy to that information. That's about it.
Noted, Abhishek. We'll try to do that. I mean, these we probably didn't do because we see it as regular course of business. But anything to add, GVK?
Yeah, I Abhishek. So things like there are regulations around the disclosures which we need to make to stock exchanges on one side, which are not in the ordinary course as materiality and significance. Also, the other side, we do also have some confidentiality agreements there in which the customers approval and everything. So whatever we have been coming in this framework, we'll definitely be disclosing and we have did it in the past as well.
Right. So my ask is, we can be very discreet, but that we are, so in the past 15 days or as and when you sign the dotted line, right, or the customer signs the dotted line, we can inform that not a particular customer, but we have had a win from a global teleco.
Yeah, we did that in the past. We did that in the past.
Okay. Exactly. So his request is that can we keep doing it going forward?
Exactly, okay. exactly.
Got
yeah,
it.
That's all.
Noted,
yeah.
Noted, Abhishek. Yeah.
Thanks, Nisha. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Abhishek.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Harshit Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Harshit here. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to say something on this. So I have two questions. One thing that we are a software company, right?
We are a product company, yes, you're right.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand that why we are making losses. I don't come to this background. So I'm very sorry this question sounds silly maybe for you. But just wanted to understand, I have generally not seen a company, especially an IT company or service-based company, because I am a chartered accountant and I am also in service industry. So generally what my understanding says that generally service industry does not make losses.
Right.
So here when I see the results of the finances, so I see that the company is making losses, and that's the cash losses. And especially product company making a cash loss, this is something that it bit sounds surprising to me.
Thanks, Harshit, for that question. First of all, you know, you are right. We are a software company, but we are a mix of product. We do have service component as well, but we are primarily a product company. And, you know, we have, I think the market is great. The market is good for us. But we have had some losses in the past. It's been due to a combination of reasons. I think some COVID impact was there, and then we also had some contraction in business. But like I've been saying through the call that the focus is on, you know, making sure that we go get back on the growth trajectory. So definitely that's my focus, to see how, you know, we can address some of the concerns that shareholders will have. But Sumit, anything to add here?
Yeah, just to add on that, we are not only just a software company, it's basically a entire turnkey kind of thing. So it's like a product along with the services. So whatever things which we sell it to our customer, it is not like a out-of-shelf kind of a software and you recognize the revenue. It is a service element to that and the support, maintenance, and for the thing. So that's how it is. So it is more about the entire manpower has been involved, or that's why the employee cost has been. You need to maintain a certain levels of employee cost, and then the revenue will grow eventually. And that is the thing. So while the point is well taken on the losses why we are making, and now Nisha is anyway here, and we are just as a management team, we are working towards to bring the profitability back. And comment right now, but yeah, point has been taken.
Okay. Second question. Thank you. But I still have I didn't get the answer that I was looking for, because I didn't see the results, right? You are having 67 or 68 crores for this quarter on consolidated. Your payroll cost is 58 crores. So when we say it's product or service, it's both, right? So generally the salary cost will be around 40% or 50% in that range of revenue. So say if my revenue is 70 CR, then my approximate cost would be 35 crore, 3500 then 35 to 40 crore. This is what I see when I look at the service industry per se, right? Theek hai, then okay. Second thing on annual report, because when I see a lot of companies, and this is just my concern not only for Sudbank, for a lot of companies, where then those companies don't publish the annual report, because we are not keeping the annual general meeting report or publishing the June quarter report. Because why I am saying this, I have not access to the annual report for March 23, and now we are discussing June 23 results, right? So this is I find it funny for not only about your particular company, for this is the governance framework. This is what I am talking about. We should just publish the annual report, keep the AGM and close it, because let me put this another way. If we are discussing about June quarter results, in case Carol does not approve the account for March 23, then what would you do?
Oh, that is true, yeah. So that's actually the governance framework.
It's a governance framework. It's a governance framework. So my request is not only for Sudbank. So I'm just right now talking about Sudbank. So my request here is that you please publish the annual EGM, annual report, and keep the AGM before June quarter results. So at least we have the access of June quarter annual report, what management is trying to say. Though we have access of investor calls and all that thing, but we would like to see the annual report for management discussion and analysis is talking about what they are seeing, right? When you publish annual report, no one will go because we already closed June quarter. Now having the information for March is outdated.
Yeah, yeah. No, the point is taken, but yeah, that is what the framework and timelines around. So annual report you will appreciate is a lengthy, a lot of information needs to be added, unlike the LR or limited review thing. But your point is well taken, and
So because all IT companies are doing so. So I am not talking about Sudbank, because all our IT companies have disclosed the annual requirement for March 23.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just then can we expect to become profitable? That's the only thing. This is, I understand the money.
So sorry, for interrupting, sir. If we have more questions, please join back the queue, sir.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Chetan Lata, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Nisha. Welcome on board. This has been your first quarter, and you have been really candid about all the disclosures. So thanks for that. The first question is, we had been giving out the API pools. Please tell us in percentage terms what has been the increase in the API pools.
Sorry, Chetan, your voice was breaking, actually. I couldn't get the question entirely.
Yeah, Nisha, so this was around the API pool numbers. So we had been publishing the API pool numbers in the past quarters. I wanted to know what in percentage terms the increase has been for the API pools.
So the reason we sort of, I didn't want to, for me, when I look at this whole the stack that I was talking about, connected experiences, in my opinion, this whole, it's a merge capability now. So we haven't been tracking it separately like that. So, ID Central is core to our business. It was new initiative earlier, so we were reporting it separately. But now I think they have been around for 5 years, right? So they are a part of the core portfolio. I don't have it handy. My apologies. But may I get back to you on this?
No problem at all. So, and the second question was around the R&D spend. What I understand is in the past quarters, Mr. Padmanabhan had said that most of the R&D spend is now complete, and we are now in the phase of leveraging whatever R&D spend we have done. So, as it stands today, what is the R&D spend that is currently ongoing, and what are the future plans for the R&D spends? Or are we just going to leverage going forward whatever we have done?
So I would say that in a product company, Chetan, R&D spend is an ongoing activity, right? So for instance, we have to invest in 5G. We have to make sure that we are cloud ready. So this is a spend, I would say, in a product company never goes away, really. There is never a point where you say that you stop spending and now I'll only, sort of harness what I've spent. It's never that. But yes, as
can you quantify that number, Anita? Can you quantify that for the coming year?
Maybe I'll have to get back to you, Chaitanya, because, you know, we think of it as, you know, an expense. It's more, you know, it's an employee expense number. No, it's hidden in that, in the sense that our employees are the ones that are working on some of this initiative. So we don't kind of track it separately like that. But I would say a lot of expense, to Vinod's point, he's right, that a lot of AI capability has been built. But we continue to, for instance, now, I want to build a lot of AI use cases on 5G. On customer experience for telco clients. So for that, you know, I will continue to kind of, you know, invest in those areas, right? So this keeps us sharp. This keeps us in market. This keeps us at the edge, right? So it's important. Mm-hmm. I think this is kind of, you know, a given. A product company can never really go away from this. And on your API question, I quickly got the number. I think maybe there have been... I'll have to kind of reconfirm it to you, but the 11 million API pulls happened.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks. That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. That would be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dursabha's conference call service. You may all disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.